KnockoutRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Kara.
This is WWE superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock to God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rock.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this lie they're living in, man!
The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand.
This is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin'. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks they found.
My gosh, could two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put some of that on there.
Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you got to be careful with this kind of stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm going to help you with this. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
Huh? What?
I'm going to borrow your pad. I'm going to check out the rest of these.
Oh, the pads.
Your flavor, man. I know.
Wait a minute. Wait.
We're going to get to the bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. I'm not entirely sure if they would have any TLC merchandise or not, but, well, you can go check them out and see. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful, not-quite-as-fabulous producer, Sir Rockin.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all the ages, did you know that we have an icon in our presence right now?
Oh yeah, I'm so an icon.
She is not only the icon, she is the main event, and she is the showstopper, apparently.
Damn right. You know, I'm sorry, who had stuff swiped this week? Oh wait, that's right, me. Thank you. Thank you very much. By the way, I remember when that song came out, and I remember the controversy that song caused.
Oh, good times, huh?
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, they're talking about gay couples and AIDS. Oh my God!
Whatever shall we do?
And you think about it in context of today, and it's like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of a wow.
Like, wow, the world has kind of come a long way, yet it really hasn't.
No, it really hasn't. But that's just the beginning of Throwback Thursday from 1995, ladies and gentlemen.
Should be an interesting night if we're starting off with TLC's Waterfalls. But speaking of interesting, we've got a lot to get into tonight. We've got news, we've got Impact, we've got Turning Point Pick'em, we've got discussions. But before we get into all that, we have our question of the night.
And our question of the night goes as follows. Who is your favorite country southern professional wrestler?
All right, well, if you didn't put that on the Facebooks, the Twitters, or the Tumblrs, then hold your thoughts until the end of the show, because that's where we like to discuss our question of the night. So just hold your thoughts there if you can. If you got to leave early, just plop them in the chat room and we should see them. But yeah, so should be interesting. And I guess we should, you know, just jump right into the news brought to us by PWMania.com, where we're streaming.
We're streaming live on PWMania, Tumblr, TNA Site, the haven for TNA fans. and all over the world right here on WildTalkRadio.com. So let's get into the news, Lindsay. What's on tap?
Well, what's on top? WrestleMania tickets are on sale.
Yeah, tonight, today was the pre-sale of WrestleMania tickets, and a lot have been sold, apparently. They officially go on sale Saturday, but all the pre-sales, if you had Tumblr and the Facebooks, they've been giving you codes on how you can get it. People were, you know, sort of took a little bit of time, but people got their tickets, and they're happy they're going to WrestleMania in the Louisiana Superdome in April. Should be an interesting show, and hopefully you get your tickets and go to the show and have some fun out there. So buy your tickets now for WrestleMania. I can't tell you how much they are, but they're probably pretty, pretty expensive.
Depends on where you sit. If you get the nosebleeds, they're about $50. If you get the floor seats, they can be several thousand. But if you have the opportunity to go to WrestleMania, especially WrestleMania 30, go. Seriously, go. I went to 27 in Atlanta, and I want to go again. If I could go to 30, I totally would. If anybody would like to chip in and help get Lindsay to WrestleMania 30, there's a donate button on WildTalkRadio.com. Click on it and send us money. Just specify Lindsay's WrestleMania fund.
Just put put in Lindsay's WrestleMania fund. If not, I will, you know, use the money for servers and stuff. But yeah, tickets cost anywhere from $25 to $850. There's a limited number of Gold Circle VIP packages available for $2,000. So get your tickets now. Go to Ticketmaster.com. Buy your tickets for WrestleMania 30.
All right. Well, speaking of tickets, I guess we can kind of transfer as far as events are concerned because, well, TNA also made announcements, and they've got tickets on sale. One is for One Night Only Old School, which I believe is going to be in Orlando.
No. No. You see? You're skipping. You're skipping. We have a format.
Are you skipping?
What was the second story I told you?
Or the Special Olympics?
You didn't write things in order. Oh, forget it. You don't write things in order. No.
I write things as we talk.
Okay. TNA presents One Night Only Old School, which is featuring a match, Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer. That started at House of Hardcore number 3 this past weekend, where Bully Ray invaded House of Hardcore, and the Old School will be taking place in that same building where House of Hardcore took place in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Ooh, and tickets have gone on sale for that, yes?
Tomorrow.
So if you want to go see TNA Old School, if you want to see Dreamer versus Bully Ray, go get your tickets tomorrow. Should be a good show. And just go anyway to support TNA. Please, just go to support TNA. They need all the love they can get.
Yeah. Also on that card, you'll see Lance Man Standing, James Storm versus Bobby Roode, and Monsters Ball, Jeff Hardy versus Abyss. One Night Only is one of those special pay-per-views they do monthly for cheaper costs, so check them out. But the one thing we should talk about from One Night Only Old School is Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer, and how it was set up at House of Hardcore. If you haven't seen the videos, it's youtube.com/impactwrestling in their Impact 365 segment. Bully Ray came out and attacked both Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk, and basically challenged Dreamer that night to a match. I thought that was an impressive way. It was a nice use of Bully Ray. It was a nice use of tying House of Hardcore to TNA. It was a nice way to, you know, get TNA buzz, as it were.
It was definitely a way to get them buzz. They released the footage, conveniently enough, on their 365 service, which is up on their YouTube page, and their internets. Thank you, Dixie Carter, for that.
We will talk all about her internets later.
Yes, we will talk about her internets later. But yeah, so it's... I like that idea, you know, because it's like you don't think anything's necessarily going to happen, because that show was stacked as it was. They booked everybody they possibly could for House of Hardcore, and you were expecting it to be a fairly newsworthy show based on the names that were listed, and then as if, you know, it wasn't big enough, then you have Bully Ray pull surprise with the help of TNA and come out and beat up Tommy Dreamer, and then challenge Dreamer to a match when TNA is going to be in that area. So that was a really clever way of doing it, because you did it not only in front of the live crowd, which would get buzz for TNA, but you also released it on the internet as well, which it then, of course, got picked up by every major wrestling news site you can think of.
Yeah, they got the buzz they wanted out of it, which is good, and hopefully the ticket sales will be good. Remember, they're on sale tomorrow. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's an old-school way of doing things. Here comes a guy, invades your company, and challenges you to a match, and now you have synergy between both TNA and House of Hardcore, which is a good thing. Tommy Dreamer is very good at promoting his events. He's done run 3 House of Hardcores, 1 here in Philly, 2 ups in Poughkeepsie. They did, I think, 1,800 paid attendance for House of Hardcore 3 last Saturday, so that's pretty good.
Very nice.
So with Dreamer promoting it a little bit, they have a nice solid crowd. It's a pay-per-view taping, so you should go support them. And you're getting some crap besides Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer. You're getting James Storm and Bobby Roode.
I know, right?
And Jeff Hardy and Abyss.
In Last Man Standing and Monsters Ball. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
That's sort of a nice stacked lineup right there. 3 top matches. The Bully Ray Tommy Dreamer is a street fight, I believe. So anything can happen in that one. It'll be a fun show, and Bully Ray proved why he's one of the best heels in the business, because he generated so much heat that night.
Oh, he did. Bully Ray's a heat magnet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really seriously is. He's probably one of the top heels. He is the top heel in TNA. I would argue he's probably one of the top heels in the business right now. And it's like, I kind of feel bad because it's like he's not getting the attention he really deserves, and TNA is not getting the attention they deserve because of Bully Ray. If you guys don't watch TNA, at least check Bully Ray out on their 365 service. He is an absolute fantastic heel because he just walks out there and he's a jerk. Seriously, like he walks out there and he cuts promos and his, you know, New York accent, and he's just a jerk.
Do you
it's
know who
fabulous.
I am? Yeah, it's, do you know who I am? And the crowd just boos the crap out of him. Yeah, Bully Ray at his finest. So, yeah, go out and support it. They're also doing another live event. That one's on December 30th. On December 29th, that Sunday, they're doing TNA One Night Only Hardcore Justice in Lowell, Massachusetts. And that's got a couple good matches on it as well.
Does it?
Austin Aries, Samoa Joe, Chris Sabin in an X Division Escape match.
Ooh.
You also have Abyss and Eric Young versus Kaz and Daniels in a Full Metal Mayhem match.
Oh, that'll be crazy.
So you want to go see those shows? That show, I believe tickets are going on sale this weekend as well. It is One Night Only Hardcore Justice, so TNA's going on the road. It should be an interesting time for them. And I out of these two pay-per-views, I really want to see One Night Only Old School.
Yeah, I'm really curious about One Night Only Old School, but I would also be very curious to see Hardcore Justice. But yeah, just based on the matches announced, Old School sounds like it's going to be a stronger pay-per-view, but we'll see.
Oh yeah, definitely. We will definitely see. So go out, support TNA. Can't push it enough. Support TNA.
Yes, please. And speaking of supporting TNA, well, it seems that TNA talent is branching out just a little bit. Not only will we be able to bask in his magnificence, sarcasm, on Impact Wrestling, but now he's apparently working for ESPN. That's right, Mr. Spectacular. Jesse Goddards is going to be hosting the College Arm Wrestling Competition.
Yes, he will. It'll be the Call to Arms, the league, which will feature arm wrestling contest between college students, airing on ESPNU and ESPN2 next year. Tapings are scheduled for this coming weekend, November 17th and 18th, in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Universities announced to participate include Penn State, Rutgers, UConn, and Syracuse.
Ew.
So, yeah, Jesse Goddard is heading to, you know, ESPNU and ESPN2 sometime in 2014 for the Call to Arms.
Very interesting. Well, to kind of transition back and sort of stay on that ESPN sports broadcast vibe, somebody else is getting in on the sports broadcasting.
Would that be one WWE?
That would be. WWE announced that they are going to be working with the Special Olympics and as a fart, and they said that as a founding partner of the 2014 Special Olympics for the USA Games, WWE will be producing a games highlight show of all the competition and special events for the 2014 Games, and that the highlight show will be broadcast on the Fox Sports 1 sometimes next year.
So that's pretty cool. And if you think about it, if anyone is going to do a highlight show, it's the WWE production team. They are the best in the business today.
Oh, bar none. Absolutely. They do wonderful work. And you know what? It's not even the fact that they do wonderful work. It's the fact that what it's going to do for the kids
in
the Special Olympics. Because it's something of... Sorry.
Just without question, it will be something special for these kids.
Yeah, and it's a big deal for them to be in the games and then, you know, to be able to see themselves on TV and be a part of the highlight show. It's going to do a lot for them, and I think that's really, really good on WWE to do something like that.
Oh, without question. It's a good move from WWE, as King says in the chat room, a very good PR move. But they are a partner of the Special Olympics USA Games. And, you know, you can't say as much as you want to hate on creative, but blah, WWE, class act, organization, top to bottom, and this is one of the reasons why.
Absolutely. And we're going to take a break for just a second because I have to rant. You know what, Tennessee? If you're going to shirk the kick...
Kick it 10 yards?
One, kick it 10 yards, and two, don't kick it at the opposing team!
Well, you gotta kind of kick it at the team when you do onside kick.
You don't kick it right at somebody! And especially you don't kick it on the ground where it rolls literally right at their feet.
Well, the idea is for it to hit them, and then you grab it.
Yeah, they failed to do that.
Yeah, well, that's why the onside kick is one of the hardest plays in football.
Well, they need to work on it. A lot. Like, a lot. By the way, if you're a football fan and you're following the game, it is 30-27 with Indianapolis in the lead. And, well, it looks like Indianapolis is, in fact, about to win.
Yeah, they're a minute and a half away from winning the game. So we're going to go back to the stupid people standing outside in the cold in New York waiting for a video game console.
Idiots. And going back into the wrestling news, sorry, I just had to, you know, get that out. We're kind of ADD on the show.
We watch live sports as we do this show. So you get a lot of different commentary as we do the show.
And it doesn't help that the host is ADD. So, going back into wrestling, I don't really have a transition for this, but, well, Hulk Hogan is going to be making a TV appearance, and it's going to be on not what you would expect, and I don't know if this is a compliment or not, but he's going to be appearing on Oprah's Where Are They Now?
Yes, Hulk Hogan talks about life following his darkest period ever. Scott Thorson, dancer Chris Judd, and comic Carrot Top share fascinating updates on an all-new episode of Oprah, Where Are They Now? This Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern and 10 p.m. Pacific. Wrestling legend Hulk Hogan recounts the events that led him to commit suicide, what brought him through that period, and what life is like with his new wife, Jennifer, and four little chihuahuas. You also see Carrot Top and all the other people I mentioned before, so yes. Hulk Hogan is on Oprah, Where Are They Now?
I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't know if that's a good... Yeah.
But I tell you, to kind of move on...
Hold on, before you move on, it's like... Just goes to show you popularity where he was, brother. Sorry, TNA.
Yeah, sorry, TNA, but... Yeah, it's clear Hogan is not... While he's still a name, he is not the name he
once was. And one other little thing on Hulk Hogan really quick. Apparently there's Jimmy Hart talk today at the pre-sale ticket thing.
Uh-huh.
That at some point, even if he has to buy a ticket, brother, Hulk Hogan will be at WrestleMania 30.
Oh, Hogan, don't do it like that. Don't show up in the crowd.
I think that's kind of their way of saying, hey guys, Hulk Hogan's coming! Without saying he's actually booked.
I know, but still, it's like, even if he has to buy a ticket, dude, don't do that.
He'll buy a ticket and sit front row.
No, he'll get comped a ticket and he'll sit front row.
Yeah, that too. Sadly, I can picture him sitting in the front row and then being called out by a wrestler, and there's your angle right there.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Actually, you know what? This is how you get your match with Damien Sandow.
That is how I get my match with Damien Sandow. But as I told you the other day, and I gave a Tumblr exclusive, if you're not following on Tumblr, you should. The next match for WrestleMania 30 needs to happen is Steve Austin versus Damien Sandow. Not a match. Just an angle.
Just an encounter.
Damien Sandow tries to educate the redneck in Stone Cold Steve Austin. Just picture it for a second, people. Then you'll know you want it. And if it happens, rack exclusive. Hashtag it.
Are you done?
Yes. Hey.
Okay.
You're calling yourself the icon, the showstopper, the main event. I can't get a moment.
Well, you can get a moment. I can pop your bubble, though.
Go ahead. See what she does. I get this shining moment, and then, boom, knocks me right back down.
Well, you know, it's as if I don't get enough of it on Twitter, Facebook, and now Tumblr. I get to do it live every week, too.
Hey, King Kitten, shut up. Anyway, move on.
What did King Kitten say?
Nothing.
Oh, yes. He is just the producer. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Anyway, moving on for somebody who actually got some good news and is on the up and up. The Rock has inked yet another movie deal, and he is going to be starring in the new movie Not Without Hope.
It is a movie inspired by the best-selling book. The movie is about four friends, including two NFL players, who are on a fishing trip in the Gulf of Mexico when their boat capsizes and they are stranded at sea. It's about men trying to survive and hoping to be discovered.
Sounds like it's something right up the Rock's alley.
It does sound like it's something right up the Rock's alley. It's a big movie for him, and, you know, again, he's stacked with movies coming up.
He is stacked with movies coming up. And speaking of stacked, I don't know if it's, well, this is a good transition or not, but last week I'd like to just touch on really quickly, because this was a story that came out. It's not really an overly big deal, but it is a pretty significant thing that happened. WWE recently made a change in their wellness policy where talent can now get kind of an opt-out for banned substances if they can provide one medical proof for it and they get company permission for it.
Yeah, and then there's some sort of treatment they got to go through. You know, you have to be a certain amount of days clean or whatever from it, and yeah.
Yeah, but it's kind of an interesting solution. And one other thing is, if you have to take a drug test and you test positive for the banned substance and you can provide proof that you do have this opt-out, then they just wipe the slate clean, basically. But if you don't have the opt-out, you don't have the option to even dispute it,
right?
Which is kind of interesting. And also, the opt-out does last for a year. So depending on how long you're out and you're recuperating, then that determines how long you got to stay clean, obviously, once you come off the drug. But it's an interesting update, and I think maybe they've been seeing possibly problems with guys going out on injury, and they're doing certain things to rehab that maybe helps them rehab a little bit faster. Hint, hint, wink, wink, John Cena.
Basically, you're calling this the John Cena clause?
I don't know if I'm calling it the John Cena clause, because obviously we don't know if John Cena did anything.
No, but it's one of those things where they're using new medicine to help them heal. And you shouldn't be, like, they're using certain types of hormone, you know, HGH and steroids and stuff. They are, when they're prescribed, they're good for you. When you use it, you know, as some people do, just to gain size and stuff, that's different. So under doctor's care, it's the right move. And having them work it into the policy is a smart move, I think.
Oh, it's absolutely a smart move. I think they're seeing what these guys and girls are doing to recover, to get back, and then it's something of all they're trying to do is get back to work. That's all they want to do. It's not like they're abusing the substance. It's not like they're using it just for the sake of using it. They're doing whatever they can to get back as fast as they can because they want to get that spot back. They want to get that money. And it's like, you know, you do what you can to get back, and you work your butt off to get back, and then it's like you have to take a drug test, and then bam, you're out for another 30 days, and you're sort of punished for using that substance when you didn't use it improperly. Like, I understand it is a banned substance for a reason, but there should also be the intended use of the substance. If somebody is abusing it, absolutely they should be punished for it.
Right.
But if somebody is using it to recover and to get back on TV, then they shouldn't be punished for that because they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're using it for its intended purpose, which is as medicine.
Right.
So I think this is a smart move by WWE. We'll see how it factors in.
Right. It's brought up in the chat room that they're also getting fined for alcohol positive tests. Well, they're only going to test you for alcohol if, you know, you show up drunk.
Yeah, that's the alcohol. Alcohol's a little different. If you're showing up to work drunk, regardless of whether you're at a wrestling show or you're at an office job, you shouldn't be showing up to work drunk because that impacts your ability to work on all levels. Mm-hmm. And if you're drunk, they can't use you. And it's something of, especially when you have a limited crew, like say they're in Europe or say they're at a house show, they've got a limited number of people there. They don't travel with the full roster on the live events. They basically take a handful of guys and girls out, and that's it. So then it's something of, oh crap, somebody can't work because they showed up drunk. Well, we have to fill the match. So then somebody ends up having to cover for that.
Right. And it's not the Ric Flair rule, as he's, Kent Kins is asking him to hear him. No, it's more of, if you show up drunk once, they're going to tell you to say something. If it becomes a problem, then they're going to make sure you get tested and make sure their suspicion is correct, and then you'll probably lose some money that way.
It's kind of similar almost to the pot rule that
yes.
they had a few years ago where you would get fined initially for pot. And
they've sort of pulled back on that rule, at least according to Rob Van Dam. They've relaxed some rules, and, you know, they're not saying don't drink, don't do this. They're just saying do it at your own time. Don't come to work that way.
Yeah, don't come to work stoned. Don't come to work drunk. Don't abuse illegal substances, that kind of thing. It's like they understand people want to go out and have a good time. And it's something of, especially for alcohol, I'm not going to condone drug use either way on the show, but despite my libertarian standings, as far as alcohol goes, they know some guys and girls, they like to go out and party, they like to have a good time, they like to have a drink. From what I've heard about the night after the night of WrestleMania, it is one ginormous drunken party. Because everybody's just letting off steam and having fun, and then it's like the next day you gotta be at work and you gotta be at Raw. But they expect you to be sober.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something of, they don't mind if you go out and you have a couple drinks or you get drunk or you do whatever. It's the next day at work, you better walk in the door and you better be at least sober. Hungover is a different story. But they expect you to be sober. If you're walking into work and you're swaying and you're slurring your words and you've got a bottle of whatever in your hand, they're going to frown on that because not only is it dangerous, but it's also extremely non-professional. You wouldn't get away with that in any job. Actually, in the majority of jobs, you would be fired for that on the spot. So the fact that WWE is only fining people for it, I say, is pretty generous.
Yeah, and then if you continue to do it, they'll probably take steps further from that. But it's good, for everyone says, oh, they have a wellness policy. It's a great move that they have a wellness policy and they keep the boys healthy, and the boys and girls, rather, healthy, and they, you know, want to keep them on the road, keep them safe, and this is the way they do it. The guys who screw up, well, that's their own fault.
Dude, is that a Godzilla Christmas tree?
It might be.
That's awesome!
It's not a 20-foot Christmas tree like we saw the other night, or that the dude wanted the other night, but yeah.
No, I think it is actually a 20-foot Christmas tree, which makes it even better, and it shoots steam! It shoots fire! Dude, that's amazing! Can you tell him on Tumblr? Anyway, that being said, and as we've gone through all our news, let's kick it to the first break of the evening. And when we come back, we will be talking all about tonight's exciting TNA Impact. What happened? We got our second match in the title tournament. who won. And we also got the setup for, well, Turning Point next week, and we will also bring you Turning Point Pick'em. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
And you're never coming round. Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. Every now and then I fall apart, and I need you now tonight, and I need you more than ever. And if you're lonely, hold me tight. We'll be holding on forever, and we'll only be.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns.
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment.
Let it go! Let it go! Oh my God!
Oh my God! Oh God!
Don't do this, bro!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
everybody. This is Joseph Park from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is how we do it. It's Friday night, and I feel alright. The party's here on the west side, so I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shop cause I'm faded. Honey's in the
and honey, welcome back to the rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemorabiliaLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And in case you haven't figured it out, it is Throwback Thursday for music in 1995 when music was still music, thank God.
Because this is how we do it.
Right? Yo? No? Nothing? Nothing? Fine.
What? This is how we do it, yo.
Yo?
Yo.
Yo.
Yo. Yo.
Yo, let's get into some Impact.
Let's get into Impact, presented as always by TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans.
Yes. So we open Impact tonight with Angle and Aries arriving backstage. They have a big match tonight. It's a submission match for the TNA title tournament. And we get a lot of hype packages for not only the Aries Hardy match, or I should say Saban Hardy, that was last week. We also get hype for Willow Dixie, and of course we also get the hype for the main event tonight, which is Angle and Hardy. Angle and Aries. Good Lord, if I could have typed this right.
It's
post-fail tonight.
They're confusing sometimes.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I was trying to recap this and do other things at the same time. So anyway, I know I typed this out right, and unfortunately we actually do have audio for it, so fail for that. But we cut to the ring where Aces and Eights are on their way out to the ring, and, well, Bully Ray had some things to say.
And I think, Lindsay, he's going to ask a question. Do you know who he is? I'm not 100% certain, but I believe he is.
One question, and one question only. Do you know who I am?
Called it.
I'm the puppet master. I'm the one who plays each and every one of you. I'm the one who makes you believe whatever I want you to believe. You're nothing but a bunch of suckers. This club ain't about quantity. It's about quality. And that is what you call quality. One thing perfectly clear. I don't need to be the world heavyweight champion to be the most talked about guy in TNA. I am the be-all and the end-all, and every single one of you know it.
So he's Omega?
That's what I said on Twitter. It's gimmick infringement. That's Bully Ray's now Omega. Well, it wouldn't make sense to come back to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Does Omega have a chain wallet?
No, I don't think he does.
We'll have to ask him Sunday. Anyway.
He might just put his wallet in his Kamen Rider belt.
Ah. Now he just needs to get a chain for it, then he'd totally be Bully Ray.
Totally.
And speaking of Engel, that brings me to Ken Anderson. Anderson, you tried to drive a wedge between me, my brothers, me, and my girl, and nobody drives a wedge between me and my girl except me. Can I accept your challenge on November 21st, live right here, Impact, no disqualifications. But the only difference this time, Ken, is I ain't just gonna pile drive you on the stage. I'm gonna pile drive you through the stage.
Yeah, it's 1 week from tonight. It's next Thursday, right here on Spike TV, live from Orlando. It's Turning Point when Mr. Anderson finally gets his hands on Bully Ray. Nothing? No disqualification, by the way, next Thursday. I got you.
Through the stage, huh? Through the stage. He's going to pile drive me through the stage. I know that I'm extremely sick and tired of you guys, and I think that everybody here in Cincinnati, Ohio, is sick and tired of the Aces and Eights. When I beat you, guy, next week, Aces and Eights is done in TNA. Disbanded, done, never to ride again.
Why would I agree to a match like that? You're not smarter than me. You ain't baiting me in. So the answer is...
Okay. You're right. Let me sweeten the pot for you a little bit, okay? Let me tell you like this. As you are well aware, my lovely wife right now is at home pregnant with twins. So if I can't beat you next week, I will take my ball and I'll go home and just be a dad. I will be done in TNA.
Oh, yeah. You know something, Ken? Come closer, because I want you to hear this. I want to look you in the eye. Yeah, come here. Listen, Ken. If I had the chance, I would love to pile drive your pregnant wife.
Sick.
And as far as you putting your career on the line against me, you must be crazy. Pretty bad,
Ken. Yep, I'm freaking crazy!
Yeah, and you need to be crazy to deal with Aces and Eights.
He's a dead man. What is he, nuts? He's out of his mind. He got his rear end whooped last week. And he's going to get it whooped again right now. It's crazy.
Hold him up.
Aces and Eights trying to put away Anderson.
Uh-oh.
And Anderson fights back. No, there's a close right there.
What the hell? How's he pulling this off? Watch out.
How's he pulling it off?
Pull it,
Because he's crazy.
Got your ass next week, but you know what? I'm feeling kind of frisky right freaking now. So who's it gonna be? Because it's gonna be one of y'all right now.
Guys, crazy.
So he makes the challenge to one of the members of the Aces and Eights for a match, and we'll get to that here in a second. That was an interesting open.
That was a very interesting open. I mean, it's the usual spiel from Bully, and, you know, it was a nice setup, nice hype for the match next week. It's kind of interesting that Anderson noted that his wife is at home pregnant with twins. It kind of sort of is like, kind of starting to see where this might go. And for a second, is it really wrong that I thought, if I lose, I'll give you one of the kids? Like, seriously, that's what went through my head. I'm like, oh my god, don't say it. Don't say I'll give you my firstborn. Please don't say that.
I'm going to sacrifice my firstborn to fight you. Yeah. Alright, I'm totally derailing the show for a second.
Okay.
Because I've been... As we were playing the clip, I was watching the Sony launch thing. Dude, there's been a dude been in there since 9 o'clock yesterday morning in line. And the best, and he's the first one in line. Didn't pre-order the thing. First in line to get it.
Seriously? Uh-huh. And he didn't pre-order it?
No, but he's first in line, because apparently, according to him, an exec said, you know, you don't have to pre-order it if you just get in line. So he got in line. So he's going to be the first one live on television to order his, get his PlayStation, apparently. Dude's nuts. Apparently Sony let him go home and sleep a little bit. Apparently. But that's BS, I would assume. If you're in line, you got to be in line. Don't be one of those people. Oh, save my spot, will you?
Yeah, don't be a jerk.
I think he should be sent back to the back of the line. Just for it. I don't know. It's going to come back, and we're going to see more of it, and you're probably going to get more live reactions. But let's come back to Tina as this is going on.
Well, they're doing the countdown now, and it's like... I'm sorry, that is the ugliest console I've ever seen, but she's got a pretty dress. Anyway, going back to Tina. Yeah, this was an interesting setup. It was a nice setup. You got to see Anderson sort of breaking away from the mold a little bit. Breaking out. Oh, there he is, getting ready to get his PlayStation.
Oh, and what's he going to do? He's going to go home and sleep.
That's great that you're getting a PS4, dude, except there's no games for it.
No, there's games for it.
Have they already come out?
They're coming out with the launch of the system. Say.
Did he get any games for it?
I don't know.
Dude, the guy with the PS4 looks like just completely...
Yeah, but look at this.
Is it signed?
I don't know. It can't be signed. Who's going to sign it?
It looks signed.
Maybe it is signed. They got the first one. Yeah, maybe. So he got it 50 seconds before everyone else. How about that?
The internet is going to hate you, dude.
You're going to be the biggest villain in internet history right now.
Everybody's going to be bashing you. Mm-hmm. Just prepare for it.
Just prepare for it. But it's like, why? Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the idea of it, but...
It's like getting the new iPhone, or, like, people sleep in line because they have to be the first ones to have it. Like, I don't understand it either. It's like, why? Why would you sit outside and sleep outside for days to get it?
They were this bad for the PlayStation 2, and guess what? We're going to see this stuff next week, probably, too, when the Xbox comes out, too.
Oh, God. That means the price on the 360 is going to drop.
No, yeah, it is.
Ooh, I might be able to get a 360.
Yeah, we should talk. Yeah, we should talk.
We should talk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can talk. Anyway, back to TNA. Sorry, we completely derailed, like, the show for the fact of the PS4 launch because, well, so back to TNA.
Hold on, before we get back to TNA, they're actually doing the live countdown next week for Xbox, so we'll be distracted next week, too. Anyway.
Dude, we should totally cover it.
We will totally cover it next week on the rack. It'll be right after Impact.
Yes. So stay tuned for us to mock the Xbox release.
Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We have something to riff. So anyway, going back now into TNA Land fully, as I've said three times now,
hold on, don't call it TNA Land, call it Dixieland.
Back to Dixieland. Are you happy?
Yes, I'm happy now. I'm totally the railing show. It's amazing.
Anyway.
You're going to punch me. Yeah. Yeah.
Through the internet, dude. Through the internet.
Yeah. I know.
Anyway, so...
Anyway, good setup. Nice little stipulations added in. We'll give her picks for it here in a bit. And a nice way to start off the show. With the compass and sets up the first match.
which was Mr. Anderson taking on Nux, and he picked up a rather quick victory via the mic check.
Via the mic check, a few-minute match. This recap says, the common man, Mr. Anderson, because he was dressed in his street clothes. Well, I guess Nux was wearing his casual clothes. I don't know. Lindsay says it's his uniform. They're both basically wearing the same thing, except for shirts. They're the only thing different. I'm just pointing that one out.
Nux was wearing, you know, the standard status quo basic issue for aces and eights, and then Anderson was just in street clothes.
Right.
You know, completely not totally
the same thing. Fancy shirt, not so fancy shirt. That's the only difference.
Yes.
Yeah, the match was fine. Anderson picked up the victory. And, you know, that's about it.
We get another... We go to break, and after break, we get another Angle Aries hype package. We also get to see Joseph Park's 365 video, where basically he's sick and tired of Christopher Daniels being a bully, and so he challenges Christopher Daniels to a match. This leads to a backstage segment, which I thought I wrote all this down. Apparently I didn't, or I deleted it. I'm not entirely sure. Anyway, where basically it leads to Christopher Daniels backstage with Frankie Kazarian, who's in a towel. Thank you very much, Frankie Kazarian, for that.
Yeah, basically Daniels and Kat spoke about Park. Daniels' reason that Park appeared to be in need of a drink. So he simply provided a mid-match refreshment last week, but now Park wants to put his big boy pants on and step up to him. So he'll handle Joe Pancake by himself one-on-one, and then they can find Abyss and get the TV title back around their waist.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bobby Roode walked in and they showed off their new Bad Influence t-shirt.
And they were all chummy.
They were all chummy. You can get a Bad Influence t-shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com, but you know what else you can get at ProWrestlingTees.com, Lindsay?
The Rack Radio Show official t-shirt.
Yes, you can go to ProWrestlingTees.com/Rack Radio Show and get it now. Buy it.
Please.
Buy it. Yes, you. Buy it.
Please.
Please. Pretty please?
Pretty please. Support the show. Support us. We're poor.
I love that we both said pretty please at the same time. Anyway, moving on.
Same brain. I'm telling you. Anyway, moving on. We have Joseph Park taking on Christopher Daniels in a fairly competitive match.
It was a fairly competitive match. And yeah, the comment, Taz was good in this match, but he was even better later on. But yeah,
Taz was on fire tonight. He was just as good this week as he was last week. He was on point for this show.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to describe the finish of this match.
Well, Daniels sort of, Daniels just low below twins and won by pinfall.
No. He debuted a great new move. The Yambag Squisher.
It's a low blow.
The Yambag Squisher.
If Joseph Park is married, his wife is going to be very unhappy.
I don't think Joseph Park is married. Is there a Mrs. Park?
I don't know. We should find out. Is there a Mrs. Park? Does anybody know?
Well, if you remember, he was trying to pick up girls at the bar one time. I don't think he has a lady.
Hmm. Maybe not.
Maybe Joseph Park is single. But yeah.
Well, given what we know about Joseph Park, wink, 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 that's probably a good idea.
Probably a good idea. But he felt the Yambag Squisher. That made me laugh.
Poor Joseph Park.
Poor Joseph Park.
And anyway, Christopher Daniels picks up the victory.
Poor Joseph Park and his Yambags.
Yeah. You're a guy. You can feel that.
Yeah,
thing.
I know, and that's why I'm trying to laugh it off.
you're sitting going, ow!
Uh-huh. By the way, I hope, Joseph, I know you're innocent. Just like Matt Goldberg. Don't think about, you know, after hearing Taz's commentary and think you can eat yams for Thanksgiving. They're not yams you want to eat. You're biting your tongue now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm totally biting my tongue. Anyway, moving on from this. Moving on, we go backstage where Garrett is talking to Nux. He's telling him, don't worry about it. It's all good. It's one loss. Bully walks up. He's still in a good mood. He tells Nux, don't worry about it because they've got Anderson right in the palm of their hand. It's no DQ next week. And Bully's going to pile drive Anderson through the stage. It's all good. You know, and so, well, to celebrate, they're going to go off to see Alexis at the strip club.
Just don't tell Brooke.
Just don't tell Brooke. Actually, I kind of had to wonder, the inner wrestling dork in me kind of wondered, I wonder if they meant Alexis Lurie.
Huh. Well, she will be in Orlando. She's been in Orlando, so...
Anyway. And I think she still lives up in Louisville. Think. Not sure, though. No offense to Mickey James at all. I just, when they said Alexis, that's the first thing that pops into my head. And I love how Nux is like, well, it's like, let's go to the strip club. He's like, well, that does always cheer me up. Really, dude? Really? Okay. So Bully and Nux are off to the strip club, at least. Don't tell Brooke. She's not supposed to know.
She's not supposed to know what adventures he's up to.
Yeah. After this, we see the undefeated EC3, Ethan Carter III, put his streak on the line against some tough competition, folks. That's right. He was worried. He was stressed because not only did he have one opponent tonight, he had two, and he had to take on both members of the Nerd Herd, Dewey Barnes and Nor Fernum. Where do we go?
Taz was tremendous on this one.
Like, oh my god, he's like, I actually think this is my fault.
Like, he's blaming himself for this, pairing them up as a team. And today was good. Today was good too. Like, really, you know, selling the comeback for Nor Fernum. And there's like a tornado DDT spot. Like, Taz was like, he sort of hit it, but Tanae sold it like, you know, like it was a big time move. And how Taz was like, how could you dare you sell it like it was like big move and stuff like that.
Yeah, this was tremendously done. I loved the hell out of this match. I don't really like Ethan Carter III, but Taz combined with Norv and Dewey was just tremendous. It was absolutely tremendous. The commentary pretty much sold this match.
Yeah, that's basically what you come in for. That's what you come into this match for, is the commentary. So coming in at 7-0 was EC3, and according to Taz, after this victory, he is now 9-0.
He is. Because even though today's like, dude, it was a handicap match, come on.
It's like the Goldberg streak, they just added people up at some point.
Yeah.
So yeah, EC3 picks up the victory because he's a Carter and the world needs...
No, we don't. No, we don't. You lie. After this, well, we get more airtime that has been purchased by the friends of AJ Styles. We see AJ's recent trip to Mexico, where he defended the TNA title against one Judas Macias.
And then we had Dixie Carter freaking out.
Yeah, and then we had Dixie Carter yelling backstage. Which, by the way, if you missed the 365 video of her storming out of the Spike offices because of this, it was hilarious. Mm-hmm. Heel Dixie is just tremendous.
Heel Dixie.
Absolutely tremendous.
Heel Dixie is tremendous. We're going to get a little bit of her here in a minute.
Oh, do we have audio of this? Because I took horrible notes on it.
So you want the full 11 minutes, or can we kind of skip through a little bit?
We can kind of skip through a little bit.
All right. So... basically, she came to the ring and, you know, talked about the AJ Styles situation, but basically saying, feels good right now. She kicked the redneck AJ Styles off her roster, and she basically told the fans to listen up so they don't miss the words she's talking about, saying everyone on the roster is irreplaceable except for her. Carter says this is a business and not a walk down memory lane, and what has AJ Styles done for her lately? He took the TNA belt to Mexico and is defending her title. He is not her world champion, she said. Carter went on to say that Spike TV bringing her turning point to pay-per-view to television next Thursday is important for everyone to watch next week's Turning Point. And then she brought out the four men who will be competing next week in the tournament. Bobby Roode versus James Storm, Samoa Joe, and Magnus. And this, Lindsay, is where things, well, they got interesting. And courtesy of her internet, here we go.
Now, we have already announced the tournament brackets. James, you and Bobby are facing each other. And Samoa Joe, you and Magnus are facing each other. But what I did earlier today was I spun the wheel of Dixie to determine what kind of match you boys were going to have in the tournament. And I filmed it and I posted on our internet for our new TNA 365. But you guys are already aware, James, Bobby.
On her internet.
Her internet.
Her internet.
Dixie, you are so southern. It's amazing. I love you for it.
Posted on the internet. On her internet. Oh, Dixie. Anyway, here we go.
You will have a bull rope match. Now, the two of you, as beer money, I will grant you, were the greatest tag team in the history of this company, right? But this is about you individually. And James, while you may think you have the advantage because it's a bull rope match, well, darling, I give that advantage to Bobby because it's all about what have you done lately, and he has beaten Kurt Angle not once but twice. So, honey, I think you need to step up your game a little bit and prove to me, darling, what you are made of. Okay?
Did you say I need to show you something and prove myself to you?
I did.
Let me tell you something, Dixie. I don't have to show you a damn thing because you ain't ready to ride in this rodeo. What I do got is a heart that won't quit. I got hair past my shoulders. I got a redneck underneath. Hell, I got a little twang in my slang, and I got a cold six-pack of beer to go with it.
A little twang? A little. James, you lie.
And I'm pretty sure that I got these people on my side thinking the same thing that I'm thinking, that it's time that a redneck takes over this damn show and becomes the world heavyweight champion. And Bobby Roode, for a bull rope match, I only got one thing to say to you.
Oh, let me guess. Sorry about my damn luck, right? Oh, that's real original.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to say, but not in that girly voice. Sorry about your damn...
Save the aggression, boys. Save the aggressions for next week, boys. There's another very important match, one that I'm really looking forward to. It's two former members of the Main Event Mafia. It's two men that tagged together to win the world titles, right, Joe? And it's another TNA original, just like your good buddy AJ Styles. Now, you two are going to be in a Falls Count Anywhere match, okay?
A Falls Count Anywhere match. Listen, I can't participate in this little charade any longer. Let's be honest here, Dixie. The only reason you gathered us all and put us in this tournament is to cover for your inability to cut a deal with AJ Styles.
You better watch yourself, Joe.
Yeah, watch myself. You know what? I think you need to realize who needs who here. Let's face it, Dixie. We're all in here. We're being used by you to cover your bad business. But don't worry, I got you covered. I got you covered. Because after I run through this tournament, after I am the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, the first man I defend that belt against is the man who never lost the title in the first place. And whether it's here or anywhere else in the world, I guarantee you this, Dixie, that man will be AJ Styles.
No way, no way, no way. You are lucky. You are lucky to be in my tournament. Do you hear me? I can replace you that fast.
Whoa. Hold on now. Joe, the reason we put the Mafia on ice is the same premise of this tournament. It's the same premise of this company. It's the underlying foundation of this business. It's the spirit of competition. And if I want to lay claim to being the top dog, I know I have to beat the very best. And I know that's you. Ain't gonna be easy, but it is going to happen.
I just want to make myself crystal clear to you boys and all you people in here and watching at home tonight, okay? This tournament is about finding my champion, one that's going to look after my causes, and he is going to be the one true, real heavyweight champion for this business. But next week, boys, good luck. Good luck to you, and may the best men win, okay?
All
right. I want Samoa Joe to win.
Samoa Joe was seriously the best part of this entire thing.
Besides her internet, yeah.
Yeah. I love Storm. I am a Storm girl to the day I die. But it's like, honey, a redneck just won the title and he left with it. Pointing out your redneck doesn't help your cause.
No.
But Joe was magnificent. And one, they need to give Joe the mic more often because dude can talk.
He can captivate an audience, I think that's what I'm saying.
Captivate.
Thank you. An audience like no other, because he has that. His voice has a presence about it. Yeah.
He has a manner of speaking that it's very. You look at the guy and you don't think he would sound as intelligent. And no offense to Joe, as he does.
Right.
But he has a way of carrying himself and speaking that. Yes, he draws people in. But yeah, basically him calling Dixie out on her crap. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Basically, he was like, you know, we all know why we're here. It's because you couldn't strike a deal with AJ Styles. And so now we all have to participate in this little charade to cover up for you.
Mm-hmm. Basically, yeah. So I kind of want Joe to win, and sadly I have bad feelings of what's to come. But we'll get to that here in a few minutes.
Yeah, I kind of have an idea that Joe is not going to win, sadly, which makes... Like I said, it's sad. It's just very sad because Joe deserves to win. But yeah, we'll get into that. But yes, fantastic segment by One Samoa Joe. Well done. Well played. And really good segment by everybody involved. Heel Dixie, best thing TNA's ever done. Seriously.
Best damn thing she's ever done, yeah.
But after this, we see... backstage, Mr. Anderson, he confronts Garrett Bischoff, and he beats him up and then handcuffs him to a cart. After that, Anderson then helps himself to Garrett's beer, and, you know, they sits down and, you know, he wants to have a little chat with Garrett.
We're gonna have a little chat.
So I guess Garrett wasn't old enough to go to the strip club?
Maybe he didn't get the message, or they were going later? I don't know.
I don't know. After this, we get one Gail Kim coming out to the ring with Lady Tapa. She discusses her open challenge, and she says that, well, somebody was foolish enough to show up. And out comes Hannah Blossom. If you remember her, she's one half of the Blossom Twins, I believe, from the
British Boot Camp.
British Boot Camp, thank you. Yes, so she came out, she challenged Gail Kim, she lost.
Not a shocker.
And then after this, basically, Gail said, you know, she has no competition, and she's going to be Knockouts champion for forever, because she is the greatest Knockouts champion of all the times, which, as Lady Tapa's sitting there holding her arm, I'm just, like, waiting for it. just waiting for Lady Tapa to take her out, because you know that's coming.
It's going to happen at some point. It's going to happen here at some point where, you know, she gets taken out. I'm curious to see who, you know, possibly shows up down the line to challenge.
I would be interested about that, too. Especially down in Orlando, where you have a few women's promotions, such as WSU and Shine.
And Shine and, yeah, Shine Wrestling, Shimmer, that sort of thing. Yeah, there's plenty of promotions down there that they will probably start picking people from. You never know. You may go old school. You may have, you know, some awesome Kong around, maybe? Probably not. She doesn't want to work with TNA, but that'd be cool if they did that one time. Gail and Kong one more time. Well, kind of cool.
I think if they offered Kong the right amount of money to come in and do a one-shot, she would probably do it. But you'd have to see. But that's a discussion for another time. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? You guys could discuss that on Sunday nights.
For Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Exactly. So, moving on from here, well, we get a second appearance by Joseph Park.
Yes, Joseph Park comes to the ring and he has a microphone in his hand, so it means he's going to speak right now.
You know, when I came to Impact Wrestling about a year and a half ago, I had one goal in mind, and that was to find my brother, Abyss. You know, but after I saw all the outpouring of support from all you great fans in Cincinnati and all across the world, I couldn't just walk away from that, and for that I thank each and every single one of you. But lately, a couple things have been getting under my skin. Kazarian and Daniels. Yeah, they say, I'll never be the wrestler that my brother Abyss is. You know what? They're right, I won't. Because my brother Abyss is a legend and a future TNA Hall of Famer. But the thing that really gets under my skin is all the innuendos and accusations. Where is your brother Abyss, they ask. They say, when he's here, I'm not. When I'm here, he's not. Where is your brother Abyss? Well, how the hell am I supposed to know where he's at? I mean, you guys
to be
know,
honest, Joseph.
The guy's crazy. He's nuts. He's bonkers. He's liable to show up any time. But you know what? I think I have a solution to the whole problem. I can't believe I'm doing this, but you only live once, I guess. I am issuing an open challenge for next week, right here on Impact, in this very ring, me, Joseph Park, versus my brother, Abyss.
What? No. Oh, kidding me.
Oh, Joseph.
Okay, now before we really sink our teeth into this, this left me really confused, but we all knew at some point in this storyline of Joseph Park when he first showed up, what, over a year ago now, mm-hmm. that at some point he was going to end up facing his brother.
Mm-hmm.
We knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Them doing it in this way, it's like, okay, this is perfectly acceptable. This is fine. It's not necessarily a stupid way. You have, you know, Joseph Park basically wanting to prove, you know, one, who's the better brother, and two, that they're not the same person. Wink, wink. Because, you know, they really are the same person. So, it's like, okay, we all know the truth. Like, if you followed the storyline, if you know anything about Abyss and Joseph Park, you know they're the same person. Spoiler if you didn't, sorry. Same guy.
Yeah, Lili and Jericho. So in the actual hell are they going to make this work?
Well, that's what I was about to get to. It's kind of a head scratcher, and we can get into this a little bit more in the Turning Point Pick'em. But yeah, that was my first thought of, okay, I'm confused. They're going to have Joseph Park face off against Abyss. How are they going to pull this off?
Joseph Park tweeted, "There, I did it. Next week, I will settle the issue once and for all. Me versus my brother at the Real Abyss live at Turning Point. Hashtag Impact Live." We're doing a little tweet early, tweet of the week coming up here after the break. Eric Young replied, "About this whole thing, exclamation point, hashtag not science."
Oh, poor Eric.
Oh, things are going to get interesting. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know exactly how they're going to do it. Will they have someone as... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll get into this more when we get to the Turning Point Pick'em. But yeah, so things to think about as we move forward with the show.
Right.
After this, we get your main event of the evening. Well, actually, before this, we get basically Anderson uncuffing Garrett and carrying him off. This is getting a little weird.
Kinky?
Apparently. And then after this, we get the fantastic main event of the evening, which is Kurt Angle taking on Austin Aries in a submission match, in which Kurt Angle defeated Austin Aries. We had an appearance from Bobby Roode as he screwed with Angle. This was match of the night.
Yeah. They got
Hands down.
They got plenty of time. It's Austin Aries, Kurt Angle. Good match. Great stuff.
Wonderful story.
Good story told. Kurt Angle wins via the crossface, which is Bobby Roode's finishing move.
Mm-hmm. And Bobby did not like that one bit.
No. Bobby was not happy about it at all.
But after this, well, after the match, we see Mr. Anderson come out. Mm-hmm. Carrying one Garrett Bischoff.
Hmm.
What could he be up to? Hmm. And, well, we soon see as Anderson does a sit-down pile driver with Garrett Bischoff and basically kills Garrett. Not literally.
Sorry, Garrett.
Sorry, Garrett.
I don't think you're making it to Florida.
Something tells me no, which is really kind of sad, because Garrett kind of grew on me. And I really actually liked him in the Aces and Eights. I think he was able to expand out.
Yeah, well, they said Papa home, so son is now going home, probably now, too.
I know, it's just he grew on me a little bit. Not gonna lie. I actually was starting to like Garrett. And, you know, he still invokes those warm feelings of Wes, since I don't get Wes Briscoe anymore, so it's like, oh. So, yeah. Sorry to see Garrett go. Hopefully he does come back. I doubt it, though. Although, since they're going back to Florida, we may see Wes come back. I'll trade Garrett for Wes, totally.
Can't see it. I'm shaking my head no.
Shush! Don't kill my dreams!
Sorry.
Silence!
Fine.
Don't make me go all Santino on you. I will whip out the Cobra.
You're gonna whip out the Cobra? Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Will it have horns?
No, this Cobra will not be horny. Sorry. Anyway, moving on, we are going to get now into the Pick'em for Turning Point.
If you want to play along with us, post them in the chat. Okay, kid, we'll write them down and we'll recap them next week here on the show.
We will. So, we have for your offering, we have Gail Kim's Open Challenge, which you really can't pick, but I would say Gail Kim wins.
I would say Gail Kim wins. What do you all think, Gail? Does Gail Kim retain win her match next week? Yes or no? Anyway, let's get to the actual matches now. Let's start with Cowboy James Storm versus Bobby Roode in the Bull Rope match.
I'm still sticking by my original pick of Storm.
I'm going with Bobby.
Yes, even though I'm fairly sure it is going to be Bobby, I'm still sticking with my heart. I'm still going with Storm. I'd still reserve the right to change my pick after Storm loses.
No.
For the winner.
For the winner.
Remember, we called the winner of
the
tournament.
For the winner. Okay, for the winner of the tournament, yes.
I still reserve that right to change the pick.
But for Pick'em, no.
No. Okay. For the match, no. I'm going with Storm, even though I know he's going to lose.
Yes.
What about Samoa Joe and Magnus?
I want to say Joe. I really, 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 really want to say Joe. So screw it. I'm going to say Samoa Joe. He's going to lose, but I'm saying Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Magnus on this one. He's going to, and he's probably going to end up being my changed pick as well. I think he's going to end up being the guy Dixie's looking for. They've been looking to put the belt on him for a while. So yeah, I'm going to go with Magnus.
All right. Lily, decide. Pick one. You got to pick.
You got to pick.
If you're going to play the
Let's
game,
pick em.
If you're going to play it along, you got to pick. You can't go down the middle. You got to pick. Stick by the rule. You got to pick. All right. One corner, you have the Monster Abyss. In the other corner, the lovable Joseph Park.
I don't think this match is going to happen. Either... Because you can't, unless you have somebody dress up as Abyss, I don't think this match is going to happen. And the problem is if you have someone dress up as Abyss, once that jacket and that hood come off, everybody's going to know it's not Abyss. There are certain things that you just automatically see when you see Abyss. And, yeah. There's only one guy that can do that. And he's in a tracksuit.
All right. But if the match... So you're calling it no contest?
I'm calling it no contest. I say it doesn't happen. I say EY stops it. No, EY doesn't stop it. I say something happens with that influence. Either they attack Joseph Park.
And he's revealed as Abyss.
Like that's the reveal to the storyline is they show that Abyss and Joseph Park are in fact the same person. And that's how they're gonna do the reveal. Because that's obviously what they're building to, is that reveal.
Yeah, I gotta go with that. But that's what we think is actually gonna happen. Now, if the we're doing two sets of pick here. If the match happens, who wins?
Seeing as Abyss is going back out on the road, I say it's Abyss.
I'm staying on Team Park. Go, Joe, go.
I want to pick Joseph Park.
No,
but
you just turned your back on the Team Park.
I didn't turn my back on Joseph Park. If it's a wrestling match and you're stacking Joseph Park against Abyss, no offense to Joseph Park, Abyss is the stronger candidate. Park could get lucky. Park could beat his brother. But ultimately, we all know how vicious and sadistic Abyss can be.
Well, there you go. So I'm going Joseph, you're going Abyss, just because we're different.
I have a very sad, sinking suspicion Joseph Park might be going away. Which, if that's the case, I'm going to cry.
Tear.
Serious tear. Although we can say we were one of the few shows that actually got an interview with Joseph Park.
Yes. One of our big claims to fame is we've interviewed the man. The myth, the legend, Joseph Park. Haven't heard it? Go to recordradioshow.com after this show and listen.
He's adorable. I love him. I would love to interview him again. Sadly, I don't think I'll get the opportunity. But anyway, finally, moving on to the main event of the evening, as it were. Or possibly the main event, I should say.
Probably the main event.
Bully Ray taking on Mr. Anderson in a no DQ match with the stipulation of if Bully loses, Anderson goes home, and if Anderson wins, the Aces and Eights disband.
Bully Ray loses. Anderson wins. Aces and Eights are no more.
Yeah, they're looking to kill the Aces and Eights storyline. And seeing as they took Garrett out tonight, that just leaves Bully Taz and Nux. I say massive interference, but yeah, Bully loses. Anderson wins. But I say Anderson wins, but he's hurt in the process, and that means he possibly has to go home for a little bit, you know, to be there for the baby being born, as it were.
No, I don't think Mr. Anderson's going anywhere. Anderson wins, though.
Yeah, calling Anderson winning. It makes the most sense. You finally have Bully have that full fall from grace.
But then he'll still have his woman, and he'll still have his Taz, so he'll be fine.
Will he still have his woman, though?
Yeah, I don't... They can take off the vest, you know.
Well, will she still be with him if he's not the president of Aces and Eights? I mean, we don't know Brooke's motives for being with Bully. I mean, for all we know, she was with him because he was the world heavyweight champion. And then she was with him because he was the leader of Aces and Eights. Well, if Bully he's lost his title. If he loses the Aces and Eights, what's the allure to Bully?
Well, you don't believe in love, Lindsay.
That ain't love.
You don't believe the love between Bully Ray and Brooke is special. You don't believe the specialness. They have the bond.
Oh, I believe it's something special. I just don't believe it's love.
Love. In quotations.
Yeah. Love as far as his pocketbook will take her. Yes. That's exactly what I believe it is.
When he stops buying her booty shorts, the relationship is over.
Something tells me the girl has an endless supply of booty shorts.
According to some people, her ass is award-winning.
I just wish I didn't have to see it every week on my TV, just bouncing up and down. Seriously, y'all, enough is enough. No, I'm serious. This is a little rant I have. If they're going to send her out there and they're going to let her twerk and bounce up and down and do that on TV, then damn it, I want James Storm in his tight jeans and no shirt. The ripped up jeans, too, where you get to see the thigh. Yeah, those jeans. You know what? If you're going to give it to the men, you got to give it to the women. Equality for female wrestling fans. We want our beefcake calendar, by the way.
I'm ignoring the chat room right now. We're not going in the direction yet, I guess. I don't know.
We'll see if we can make mention of it, but I don't think we're going to have a full-on discussion of it.
All right. I'll do this. If you pick up the telephone, you got 2 minutes between the two. Challenge. Think it can happen? You know.
You realize you're bringing this on yourself, right? You're gonna seriously sit here for 2 minutes. And listen to us talk about backsides.
If that's what the people want. The people want it.
Well, the people really just want Eric Rowan's booty, okay?
There's your mention. How about that?
There's your mention.
Let's go to break.
All right, we'll go to break. So when we come back, we will have Tweet of the Week, which is, of course, our favorite segment. And, of course, we have our discussion topics, which includes our question of the night. Who is your favorite Southern/country wrestler?
Plus, we're going to talk about the Wyatts.
We are going to talk about the Wyatts, which may include another Eric's Booty reference. We'll just have to see.
That's two now. That's two. Keep track.
Yeah. See how many times I can work it in
like
for certain people.
Like the rhythm of the night.
Yes, like the rhythm of the night. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Take me to the you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right.
It was this past Sunday, actually. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, no. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the real American. I'm going with that.
Never mind, sorry. We're not making it. I seen him too, and actually, I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. As luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? You do? Brie Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked Brie. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God. Get the fuck out. I believe you changed to Cancer Rock. Oh, shit. Well, that's one for me, because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
Jay. I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming. Just like, bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Here come the hot sniper, I'm the lyrical gangster, big up the crew in the area, still love it like that, no, no, we don't die, yes, we multiply.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, that's right, MemorabiliaLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs, and now we're just going to roll right on into one of our favorite segments, which is Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. And until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So I know you have a lot, so I'll go first.
Before you go, right?
Right.
Since it is Throwback Thursday here on the show, we're gonna have some background music for Tweet a Week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can we do this every week?
You want this every week?
Yeah, it got turned down a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Background music.
Prom, y'all. Prom.
Hey, Macarena. Anyway.
Hey, Macarena. Yeah, buddy. So anyway, going first. Sheamus. Darn, paparazzi just snapped me. Topless unawares on my balcony. Shock face. Ag. Hashtag me milky white man breasts. Oh, Sheamus, when you get on Twitter, it's amazing. Adam Edge Copeland. Somebody tweeted him, how do you deal with haters? And he responded, I suck their life force through their nostrils and haunt their dreams.
I have that one. Stolen tweet.
Adam Copeland again. Somebody asked him, who's your spirit animal? Mine is Dane O'Brien. He cheers me every time, LOL. And he responds, Burt Reynolds mustache. And that's all I got.
That's all you got, really?
That's all I got.
See, you fought me for one. You could have taken it. God.
You already had it, so you know, go.
All right. Dolph Ziggler, a two-sport standout is a big deal. I won the World Games on Nintendo after I got Game Genie. I got the Game Genie. Samoa Joe, my phone number is one number switched from the creditor's phone number. Just received this voicemail. Honey, they sold this damn loan to Samoa. Caitlin, running a Mini Coupe. So many weird buttons. It's fairly certain one of them activates the ejector seat. Or the NAS.
Oh, Caitlin.
Tommy Dreamer, I have a huge show tomorrow, so that means I get a huge ingrow hair on my on cheek. If I was a diva, I would so be getting my period right now.
Ah!
On this date, from not Bill Walton, on this date 20 years ago, enter the Wu-Tang Clan, 36 chambers dropped, putting the clan in the front and proving they ain't nothing to fuck with. Caitlin, last minute thought before international travel. Did I bring a coat? Did I unplug the toaster? Do I have a toaster? This outfit isn't cute.
Accurate. 100% accurate.
Caitlin, mom puts diaper on potty trained kid in bathroom. Mom, I know you don't need this, but it's a long flight. Kids, I get to pee in my pants.
Wow.
Heel Ziggler, babe, you want to watch Seinfeld? I want to watch Star Wars. Yoda, Yoda, Yoda. I slept on the couch. Hand on my Wookiee.
Oh, Dolph.
Dolph Ziggler, I'm not heartless. My heart is black. And it's totally all latex. With a zipper across the mouth. Hashtag heart pump. Nothing? Nothing.
The question is, did you get the brother's response?
Yes, his brother responded, Mom, says stop it. Rich Eisen goes, in case you're wondering, the Packers' emergency quarterback is Brett Favre. Yes, everyone, Brett Favre is still the emergency quarterback 10 years later.
it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Sugar Mask goes, if I can be this classy, I can become a Hall of Famer too. And it's tweets from Tammy Sitch and what she was going to do to with the fair and stuff.
Oh my God, can we talk about that after we get done?
Yes. Tommy Dreamer replied, I would let fans pay me to poop. You're being harsh. Oh, Tommy. Bailey, it's Bailey WWE. Vicky looked nice. She looked like a Spice Girl. That's what a quote from from Bradshaw was. WWE Universe replied, excuse me, Spice? What would Vicky Spice Girl's adjective be? Hashtag Raw. Bailey goes, I was just quoting Mr. Layfield, but if I had to choose, she would be the lead vocals and name Cougar Spice.
Fair enough.
Let's see, where we go? Andrew Goldstein, a former WWE writer. Hashtag Raw Country next week. What, is Curtis actually going to cover his dad's hit song, Rap is Crap?
Shit.
Totally want to see that happen. Totally want to see that happen. Scott Fishman, breaking, the English announced Sable has been fired. The Spanish announced Sable has been called in for the rest of Raw. Not Bill Walton, Dolphins are really getting bullied right now by the Bucks. Now they know how it feels. Christopher Daniels, a couple hours ago, goes, breaking news, Joseph Parker denied partnership at law offices of Babyface Comeback and Pinfall. Many tears reportedly shed. Phil Metal 11. Joseph Park goes, breaking news, Daniels granted partnership at Bald, Bald, and Bald. Now that's really bald. Congrats, Chris. Daniels goes, all that time in school and that's your retort. Shameful. Please direct all barbs through Showtime EY. At least he's funny.
Oh!
Oh, and finally, AJ Lee, super proud of Lady Diesel. You know, Tamina Snuka. No worries about that the drop kick. He used to let Caitlyn spear me all the time. Then Big E showed a picture of a mean baby face. And then AJ goes, is that your way of rubbing in the fact that all of Caitlyn's spears have made me barren? Thanks. Tamina Snuka, the Bellas are trying to be brave. That won't happen again. But for Big E Langston, he can't even see past his chest. Big E replied, the thought of your spawn roaming the earth just gave me chills. Ouch.
Damn, Big E, that's harsh.
That is kind of harsh. AJ replied, my offspring will probably mercilessly mock the doctor's minutes after being born. She will also call you Uncle E. Oh, she'll wear my line of onesies and curl up in my ample bosom. At WWE AJ Lee, just make sure she doesn't bite me or gouge my eyes out. So there you go, that's Tweet of the Week.
Yeah, by the way, in case you didn't know what we were talking about, a little bit extra on the news, because I forgot to add this in, and also for Tweet of the Week, if you didn't see the story or you didn't see the tweets, it's really, really, really sad.
Do you want me to read it?
Yes, please do. This concerns Tammy Stitch and a fan.
All right, so we should talk about what Sonny does. Sonny offers calls. You can pay to talk to Sonny on the phone at random times. She takes money for phone calls on Skype or whatever. She goes, call me if you want to chat. Person replies, I would pay to eat your shit. Sonny replies, how much? The fan goes, seriously? Sonny goes, are you? She replies, yeah, it is my fetish. Not sure I could pay you what you want. And then she went, you know, direct message me, this is too strange for normal eyes. Yeah, this is strange.
This is beyond strange. I'm sorry. You know... No. I know that's what some people are into, but no. Tammy, you cannot be that desperate.
She is.
Oh, it's so sad. Like, seriously, that's... It's like she's a WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah, she is.
And she's talking about basically paying... Or people paying her to eat her crap. In public. on Twitter. That is completely shameful. I'm sorry. Just 100% completely shameful. I don't care what you do at night. I just don't want to hear about it. Especially since it's like, that's like one step away from people paying her to have sex with her. Like, seriously one step away from it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that's Tweet of the Week.
Yeah, that's Tweet of the Week. So now we're going to get into our discussions. Where do you want to start with Kane's evolution and work our way into Survivor Series, or do you just want to go off on Survivor Series?
Let's go through Kane first, and we should play audio of it.
We should play audio of it.
So set it up for people as I find the audio.
Basically, the setup is this, is every week Triple H does his interview with Michael Cole where they discuss the current business of the WWE. Well, Triple H and Stephanie were obviously on vacation this week, so they actually interviewed Kane, who is the director of operations for the Authority. And while nothing really of note came out, Kane was pretty uncooperative throughout the interview, there is something that he said that sort of triggered something in my head, and it's the way that he did it. And if you haven't seen the video of it, you need to watch the video as well as listen to the audio. Are you going to play it on our technology screen?
I'm attempting to do that as you talk, so keep talking.
Okay. So if you want to see the video, we're going to try and play it on the technology screen. All credit to WWE. If we can't get it to work, just go to WWE.com. I believe it's still up there. And just check it out.
It should be on the technology screen as we speak, so... God, that's an awful still shot as I see it now. Michael Cole looks like he's half asleep.
So he's the status quo?
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, here we go.
WWE COO Triple H, who joins us in these forums each and every Wednesday on WWE.com. But as we learned on Raw this past Monday night, Triple H and Stephanie, a.k.a. The Authority, are on vacation. So we've now been joined by Triple H's Director of Operations, Kane. Kane, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
This interview this week is being recorded in Europe. Kane, of course, part of the WWE's two-week European tour. And with that said, you are indeed the new Director of Operations for the Authority.
Yes.
Could you please comment on what role you will play as Director of Operations?
No.
Would you care to comment, then, on your leadership role from this past Monday night on Raw?
No.
Could we get a comment, then, at least on the actions of Raw General Manager Brad Maddox and SmackDown General Manager Vicky Guerrero from this past Monday night?
No.
What about the actions of Big Show, who decimated the face of WWE, its champion, Randy Orton?
No.
Can you at least comment on the chaos that ended Raw this past Monday night?
No.
Okay, let's just cut to the chase. Let's get to the question that the world wants to know. Where did the monster go? And is this all a facade? The suit? The tie? Is the monster hiding?
You want to see the monster? Because I can assure you that the monster is lurking just beneath this veneer of civility, anxiously awaiting the right catalyst to unleash it. Mr. Cole, there is a monster deep inside all of us. The difference is that for 17 years, I chose to allow mine to run amok, to promote chaos. But make no mistake, I was always in control. Unlike you and everyone else, I accept the bestial side of my nature. Indeed, I relish in it. But it is simply one facet of my personality. A tool, if you will, but not the only tool at my disposal. So when the appropriate situation arises, the monster will be utilized. You see, My methods have become more subtle, more sophisticated. Mr. Cole, I am evolving.
Okay, first of all, let me just get the fangirl moment out of the way. That was incredibly hot, incredibly sexy, and he can talk to me anytime he wants. I just had to get that out. Now, the reason why, other than to have the fangirl moment, the reason why I brought this up was it's the phrase that he says, he is evolving. We are seeing, we all were kind of curious about what Corporate King was going to be. Mm-hmm. And how that character was going to change. Because, like, as we all said, when Kane got taken by the Wyatts, we wanted to see a new Kane. And that's what we're getting. We are getting a new Kane. We're seeing a more controlled, we're seeing the psychopath side of Kane's personality. Where he's almost learned to mainstream himself into society now and control really those monster urges, or to be that monster and fit it into what conventional society expects him to be.
Right.
Which, by the way, I pitched this. I want my money, WWE. Just putting that out. That or Rock Mole?
Not me.
She who shall not be named, Mole.
Anyway, continue.
Anyway, but we're seeing this now come out of Kane, where he's mainstreaming himself. He's in, you know, as he said, when he was a monster, he was in control. But whenever Kane has tried to be normal, as it were, he's sort of lost that ability to control himself because he doesn't, I guess, understand how to be normal or mainstream,
uh-huh.
as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that he has apparently learned how to do that, now he's able to take really all those facets of his personality and move into a more conventional role within the company as the director of operations, but he's still very much Kane.
Right.
He is still a murderous, fire-setting psychopath.
Right.
And this is where I'm kind of curious as far as this evolution started, and I would be curious to know, which we'll never get the answer for this, but I'm curious to know if maybe that's what he picked up from the Wyatts, at least from Bray, is how to mainstream. Because Bray has figured out how to mainstream to a point, but maybe Kane figured out how to take it one step further.
I don't think mainstream is the right word to use.
It's the best word I can come up with. Fit in.
Because, yeah, fit in is a better way, and when you say Bray Wyatt and mainstream, I don't connect the two together at all.
Basically fit into what?
Society. Fit into society is a better term than mainstream. When you think mainstream, you think media and culture stuff.
That's not what I mean when I say mainstream. It's basically, when I say mainstream, I mean he's figured out a way to work his way into conventional society to where when you look at him, you only see the outside, which is the calm, collected, intelligent businessman. If you've never met Kane before, if you don't know Kane, you would never know about his entire past. You would never know all the horrible things he's done in his past. You would just assume that he's a very calm, collected, intelligent individual, which is what we kind of saw, short of the little freakout moment.
Wait, I have a point I want to make about that in a second, but continue.
So yeah, so I'm kind of, and Bray, if you compare him to Bray, Bray is somewhat similar to that, although Bray hasn't quite figured out how to get that calm collected. Like, Bray is, like, when you look at Bray, he just looks like a bearded redneck.
Bray looks like a bearded redneck, but they're both, in a way, an opposite. We're seeing Kane now tried to form into a normal human being, a calm, cool, collected human being, and trapping the monster inside of him. When you look at Bray Wyatt, he is calm, he is collected, there is no monster. We have not seen the full monster unleash from Bray Wyatt yet.
But it's there.
It's there. We've seen his actions. We've seen some actions where the monster inside, the devil that is inside him, of him, come out in some fashion.
Okay, well, just to transfer back on Kane, could it be that I think he's got the monster under control? And it might be something that maybe we see that monster come out in different ways in Kane. Because obviously he has some authority, he has some power, and could we see those monster tendencies come out in that way as opposed to him, you know, lighting people on fire and beating people up and scaring people?
His objective is to try and control the aggressive monster side of him and use his intelligence in a manner where he is still an aggressive person, but he will let his mind do the talking rather than his physical aggressive side, which is a new side to the character. Going back to the video from WWE, he flipped out. And then you saw him, like, just breathe.
He centered himself.
That DDP yoga.
Dr. Shelby
centered himself. And then he started talking like he's going to be the next governor of Tennessee.
Seriously. Well, and that's the whole thing. And we saw Monday night, he had issues. Where, you know, it's like when Brad was insulting him and Vicky was out there, where Kane had kind of struggled to maintain his control, and there's actually a picture of him where he looks like he's ready to just absolutely spit nails.
Right, and that's the struggle he's having right now. There's a inner struggle, as it were, trying to determine who he is and what type of person he can be. When he's on his own, as we saw when he was just one-on-one with Orton backstage, he was able to use his aggressive tone to get what he want accomplished. When he's around other people, his first instinct is to snap.
Right, because that's what he's done.
That's what he's done for years. So it's sort of like he's trying to balance who he is and who he was and who he's trying to become. And it's a difficult process. And he's still trying to define what this new role is. Because for the first time in the history of his career, he has control over something and others. Because he's used to being controlled by other people. Whether it was Tori in the past, whether it was X-Pac, whether it was, you know, the corporation.
His father. His brother.
Now he has control.
Of not only himself, but other people. And that's the curious thing. And are we going to maybe see other issues come out resulting from that past, because as we know, Triple H and Stephanie were originally part of the corporation. There was the whole corporate ministry deal with his brother. I'd be curious to see when Taker finally decides to grace us with his presence, which will hopefully be soon.
Sometime in January.
You know, what Taker's reaction to Kane is, and what Kane's reaction really is to Taker. I mean, it's something of... And again, I'm going to repeat this. Kane asked for this. They didn't say, oh, hey, let's make Kane the director of operations. Kane came to Triple H and asked for this opportunity.
He wanted an opportunity. He's being given an opportunity. He is learning that in his older age that his body is not as always... Being physical is not the way to always handle things. As Triple H said a couple weeks ago, he's an intelligent man. Now we're finally going to see the intelligent side of Kane. And that's a positive step for the character because you kind of lost it somewhat a long time ago.
Well, we got a really, really interesting glimpse of it in 2010 where they did that muddied up storyline where you had Kane take out The Undertaker and he gave this really long monologue about, or this really long speech, I should say, about how he had planned this for 13 years and how everything had actually been him. None of it had been Paul Bearer.
Right.
All of it had been him. Mm-hmm. And he had been in the one in control the entire time, not Bearer.
Right.
Which is an interesting twist on the story. Mm-hmm. And it's like that Kane that we had, that glorious 3 or 4 months of that intelligent monster Kane that we had, went away. They put him back in a mask, and then he did Hell No. And there's absolutely, or no, he didn't do Hell No, but they, you know, anyway, that Kane went away. And he, you know, he became the Kane that we all remember, that they like to dumb down.
Rise above hate.
Rise above hate, yes. Where, again, we saw a glimpse of that intelligent Kane, where he was stalking John Cena. He was playing mind games with John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And Zack Ryder and Eve.
Yeah, they were there. Again, they were there too. Yes,
they were there too. And again, that Kane went away. So I'm really curious to see how they play this in, and the fact of this evolution, because it's like this Kane to me, this version of him, especially if he can gain that control over his anger fully and over the monster inside of him fully,
mm-hmm.
is 3 times as creepy as the Kane in the mask, just because now instead of, it's like Kane in the mask always walked around with the mask on, obviously, and the tights. You never thought of him interacting with people. You never thought of him like going to the grocery store or going to corporate meetings or really being out in public.
Nope.
'Cause he never did that. This Kane is now going out into public. He's now going to the corporate offices, supposedly, interacting with people. He's interacting with the roster more than ever because of this position as the director of operations. So he's taking on a more public role, which is a scary thought, because it's like at any moment, he could lose control and he could let that monster out and people could get hurt. Mm-hmm. And not just wrestlers, civilians. I mean, think about Kane losing his shit at the corporate offices.
Right, and if he wants to be in that position, he's got to control himself.
Right, so and I'm curious to see where the character evolves to from here. As we heard and we saw, he's not going to comment on any duties he has, any power he actually has. He at least has power over the wrestlers. We learned that on Monday night. As far as the general managers, that has not been established.
They're still trying to define who he is.
Right. And it's something of, I don't think Triple H and Stephanie are going to give Kane any real authority until he can prove that he can control himself. And that's probably what the deal is. Because you saw him, it's like he could have easily lost it with Michael Cole. But he stopped himself. He centered himself. He calmed down. And then he continued.
Right.
It's like, yes, the monster is still here. There's the monster right there. But I can control it.
Right.
I can be what everybody expects me to be and wants me to be, but I can still have this side of my personality. Which is a really interesting development to the character.
And the developments are going to continue, and it's an intriguing part. I was kind of disappointed on Monday a little bit. I was hoping he would be more of a dominant presence with authority, but that's probably to come at some point.
That was kind of a fail on the writing team staff, because you really made him look like a fool in the first 5 minutes, and he kind of redeemed it a little bit when they were backstage with Orton, and basically Kane puts Orton in his place. So you redeemed Kane a little bit, but then it's like you have him working with Brad and Vicky, and really all you had to do, unless they're going to do it when they get back stateside, and probably do it Monday night, is set up what his role is going to be. But, I mean, it's like, you know, you think, it's like, okay, Stephanie and Hunter are going out of town, this is really a perfect opportunity to put Kane in a position to either succeed or fail as an authority figure.
Right.
And they didn't opt to do that, and it may have been a test for Kane to see if he could in fact control that side of his personality when and having to deal with the uproar and the chaos and Brad and Vicky going at him and that kind of thing. And if it was a test, he passed.
Did he pass, though?
He didn't take anybody out.
This is true. He didn't take anyone out, so he's passed on that regard, yes.
He didn't take anyone out. He didn't lose control. He got angry in a frustrating situation, but it was not anything over the top, like we usually see with Kane, because it's like you see angry Kane, and then it's like, okay, chokeslam is coming. You know chokeslam is coming. But and you see that side of Kane.
Right, but now he can't do that.
Now he can't do that, and he didn't do that. Instead, the situation evolved, and eventually he calmed down, and everything was fine. So, like I said, I don't think they're going to give him any real authority until he can prove himself to Stephanie and Hunter, and I think Monday night was a positive step. I think the interview was a positive step, because it's like, they know. They're not stupid.
Triple H knows. He knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, he knows what's going on. So it's just something of, you know, can Kane prove himself to earn that power? It's like, you've been given the opportunity as the director of operations. Now you have to prove yourself.
And we will see if he does starting Monday night.
I'm curious to see, but also starting Monday night is the build, the final build, the final push to Survivor Series.
Oh, Survivor Series. Where shall we begin? All right.
I'm just going to let you rant.
Currently on the card, we have three matches announced. Yes, three matches announced. CM Punk and Daniel Bryan versus the Wyatt family. Rowan and Harper. With body parts included. You have Alberto Del Rio and John Cena. And you have Big Show and Randy Orton. And that's it. Coming off of Monday Night Raw, I know I was expecting it. I think Lindsay sort of was expecting them to go into the direction of a 12-man tag. That's sort of the impression they gave us on Monday Night Raw. And if you think about it, that would have been their entire mid-card right there. It's like, okay, if that's the role you're going to do, go there. But as I said, that's the first match. It's the Wyatt family versus CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, leaving the others with nothing to do. They teased the Shield versus the Wyatts, and we're going to get into that in a second. But where's the undercard? One of the good things about Survivor Series, the tradition, is traditional elimination matches. And there's nothing on the books right now. Nothing. But it's bigger than that. There's no direction for anyone. We keep talking about the Wyatts here on the show. We keep talking about it on WTR. There's no direction for anyone. What's the Miz doing? What's the Wyatts doing? What are the Shield doing? What are Goldust and Cody Rhodes? You kind of see directions one week, and then the next week, they're just thrown out the window. And sort of something along the lines of, where is WWE Creative going?
Where's Vince going?
Where is Vince going? Because he's doing, you know, a lot of this booking on his own. You know, he's running the ship. Well, he always runs the ship, but he has his hands more into it right now. But they're so undecided on what they want to do, and it's kind of making Survivor Series, which is one of the big four, kind of a depressing state of affairs, because you look at the show, Big Show and Randy Orton, and reportedly Big Show's hurt a little bit, so you don't know how good that match will become the pay-per-view. They'll probably have to work around his injury and probably put a step or two on it just to make it good. You got Del Rio and Cena. Cena is hurt. From all accounts on this last tour, Cena is hurting big time. He came back way too quickly. And then you got Punk and Bryan versus the Wyatts. That's your Survivor Series pay-per-view, and you're 10 days out at this point. And that's all you got on this card. No undercard. Where is the undercard, people? Where is it? I want to know. Someone? Anyone? Anyone? Find it? If you find it, please contact us. Send us an email. contact@rackradioshow.com. If you find this undercard, because I haven't seen it. I don't think they have seen it. And that's the problem. Coming off of Raw, you would have sold pay-per-views. Me and Lindsay had a discussion. She would have bought the pay-per-view for that big 12-man, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would have paid for that. There are a lot of people who would have paid money mainly for the Wyatts and the Shield. And I've seen a lot of people pissed off that they're not going to go in that direction. And to be fair, that was a tease. That was a test to see how people were going to respond to that. Obviously, it's got a very, very, very positive response. Everybody was really excited for it. And then they kind of went, oh, nope, sorry, not going to happen. And there is always the possibility the six-man could be made on Monday night. I very much doubt it at this stage. But I would honestly look, at least for that series, to happen heading into Mania. Because as far as the Wyatts and the Shield go, I would rather see a really strong build-up for those six, where you constantly have the Wyatts and the Shield butting heads. Because it's really a collision of worlds, because they're polar opposites. So as far as that feud goes, I would rather see a proper build and see that match go on a venue like Mania, where you could do something really awesome with it, especially since they're going to be in Louisiana, which is the Wyatt's home base, mm-hmm. than just throw something together for Survivor Series. But as far as the undercard goes, mm-hmm. a lot of it will get made this week. I think part of the problem with that 12-man is, one, you have at least two champions, or a champion and a set of champions involved in that match. You also have potential number one contenders for the tag titles involved in that match. You have Dean Ambrose to the Shield, who's your U.S. champion, involved. That pulls him out for any type of match, so scratch him off. You have your tag team champions in Goldust and Cody Rhodes. We'll just call him Coldust. Involved, which that takes them out, which means that eliminates potentially any tag matches.
Okay.
And you also have the Usos involved, which, again, limits the tag division. So it's like you could do two, possibly three matches out of the 12-man. So I can understand why it didn't happen. And also there's Reigns and Rollins that could have a match. There's any number of possibilities.
Right. But I want to interject here a second. You're talking about how there could be title matches and contenders. But that was the tradition of the Survivor Series. Titles, it wasn't about the titles. You were able to get these alliances together, whether they were champions or not, in the matches. You had challengers and champions on different sides, and it would extend the program. You get to interact. This is where the history of Survivor Series comes in handy. They always used to do stuff like that. Having the tag champs on a team, you had the Intercontinental champion on a team. It's sort of what they did way back in the day. Way back. And it was like, that was Survivor Series, and this is just, eh.
And you know what? That match could still happen. They could still make team match, but it's not going to involve the Shield and the Wyatts. They're going to keep them apart.
Oh, I understand. I understand that. You're probably going to get the Shield and you'll probably get Roman and Ambrose, Roman and Reigns against, and a team against the Usos and Goldust and Cody. That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Probably throw Big E in there somewhere. I don't know. You do something and it'll be fine. Probably throw Big E in and do 10-man tag or whatever. The point is, they had something. And the reason why that match would have been a great match for the pay-per-view, and yes, I know it eliminates a lot of the undercard, but you give it a time. It's a Survivor Series match, you can give it time. The intrigue was seeing the Shield and the Wyatts try to work together.
Oh, I agree. And if it's something that they had decided they were going to do, because the other problem with it is they just don't have enough time to build that properly.
You know,
two shows is not enough to build that tension between the Wyatts and the Shield. If they had done this right after Hell in a Cell, where you started teasing the possibility of the Wyatts and the Shield working together, and you started to create that friction between them, where it's like, I don't know if this is going to work or not, that would have been something, because people would have started to respond to that, people would have started to see it. So then when you have that confrontation that happened in Manchester,
it would have meant more.
It would have meant way more. The thing is why everybody was so excited about it, and mainly it's because, you know, everybody wants to see it. It's you have these two monster factions that are right there, and the Shield are hugely popular. The Wyatts are popular. It's like you want to see it just to see how this is going to go.
Right. I understand that. We went through this on Monday after the show, and it's like, what kind of scenario could have happened with the 12-man? Imagine if it came down to Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose on the same side together. They're the two survivors left for that team. How would that interaction be? That was money on the table that they're losing out, but I know why. But just imagine that.
Oh, I know. I agree. I can see it completely. And I can see Bray Wyatt leaving Dean Ambrose hanging, and I can see Dean Ambrose leaving Bray Wyatt hanging. I can see the Shield abandoning the Wyatts, and vice versa. I mean, I can see any number of possibilities. I mean, I just want it. It's like when that happened, it's like you want to see the promo battle between the Shield and the Wyatts, mainly Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt. You want to see that. Because it's like, we all know Bray, love him to death, his little cray-cray, you know, bearded self. And then you have Dean, who is just Dean, and he's off-kilter. And he's not crazy, but he's not all there.
No, he's...
And the promos those two could cut off each other would be tremendous. And we'll get it. It will happen. It will come. I have every faith it will come. But it's something of everybody wanted it, and they know everybody wants it. And like I said, that's probably going to be a mania feud. But it's something of the 12-man was money. Even a 3-on-3 was money.
But it was way too soon for the 3-on-3.
You know, honestly, you could even potentially build either like a tag match. You could have built a one-on-one between Bray and Dean, but this is where I kind of start to wonder. Bray got hurt before Battleground. He got a really bad calf bruise. He's been moving better. He was in the scuffle. It looked like he was moving okay. He wasn't having too many problems, but I wonder if he's still not ready.
He's probably still a little bit banged up.
I mean, I just have to wonder, because it's like they put Rowan and Harper, they're putting them out in a tag match again, and Bray's going to be at ringside. So it's like, kind of wonder if they're not holding Bray off just a little bit longer, or they're planning on doing something else. Where it could be Bray maybe gets a singles match. Think about that.
No, I don't think he's going to have a singles match.
Think he's going to have one, but there's... If he's... Because he looked fine Monday.
Give him another 3 weeks before he's in the ring.
Probably. But, and like I said, the injury is probably the factor, is why that potentially didn't happen also.
Right.
But it's something of, when it happens, it will be amazing to see, and I want to see them build it properly. I want to see them tease that tension between those guys and really make it into something huge, because it's worlds colliding. But as far as to get back to the original topic, which is the Survivor Series undercard, it feels like they're obviously focusing on the big matches, which are really Cena Del Rio and Big Show and Orton, and Punk and Bryan and the Wyatts is kind of a minor feud that's still very important to them, obviously, but it's not as big as the other two. Like, they've set their main matches, and that's what they're going to focus on, and then the undercard is going to be made this week. And it might be something of their moving away from that traditional Survivor Series match, or maybe they don't know how to book it.
Oh, they've moved away from it for years, and they always try to get at least one in there. It's just, I don't know, they're not, they have a love-hate relationship with Survivor Series. One year it was supposedly gone, but then it was put back on the calendar. They have a love-hate relationship with the program.
It's kind of one of those beloved programs that it's like the fans would just revolt if they got rid of it. Because it is one of the original four pay-per-views. And it's something of, no, you can't get rid of Survivor Series, you can't do that.
Because for everything, you know, gimmicky-wise they do for pay-per-views, this was the original gimmick pay-per-view because it had its original... It was different than everything else. You had the Royal Rumble that was different. You had WrestleMania that was a big show. But you had Survivor Series, it was all about the tag teams. And can you survive? Who was the sole survivor? It was always intriguing, and it's something that's sorely missed.
Yeah, and it's... And like you said, they may throw something together. They may not. They may decide against it this year. I mean, it's just... If they do that traditional match, if they do just lump a group of people together that basically they have no idea how else they're going to get them on the show, which is probably the case... It's not going to involve the Shield, and it's not going to involve the Wyatts.
Well, it could involve the Shield. They got nothing to do.
It could involve the Shield. It very well could, but it will not involve the Wyatts. But it could potentially see if they want to tease that feud a little bit more where the Wyatts could screw with the Shield.
Possibly.
I mean, it's completely 100% possible. There's nothing saying it can't happen. But it won't happen because they're obviously going to hold that off again. But yeah. So Monday night should prove interesting. So should Friday. We'll see everything slapped together. But yeah, I'm kind of... I don't know why, but Survivor Series this year just... It doesn't feel special.
The tag match would have felt special. Now it has it's missing something special. And hopefully Monday, when Raw goes country, we get something interesting. And maybe we'll get a push to make Survivor Series feel special again.
Here's hoping. Crossing fingers. So speaking of country...
See what I did there?
Yeah, very nice. Very nice tie-in. Thank you very much. We're going to transition out of Survivor Series, and well, we're going to go to our question of the night, which is as follows. Who's your favorite southern/country wrestler, and what do the people have to say?
We got James Storm. We got Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, maybe. A couple for James Storm, actually. We got Terry Funk, Stan Hansen. Macho Man, Curry Von Erich, those type of talents. I'll go with mine first, and then I'll throw it to you. When I thought of this question, it's like, favorite country southern wrestler? I'm saying Jeff Jarrett. I know, hate, I'm all around, Jeff Jarrett. But for like a decade or so, he was a great wrestler, and he was a really good heel, especially in the early days of TNA. Something where he personifies country to me with his singing and stuff like that, the guitar. To me, he's my favorite of the bunch. What about you?
I've always been partial to the Godwins. I always thought they were a great gimmick. Obviously, the Wyatts, can't forget them.
Hillbilly Jim.
Hillbilly Jim's another good one, although he's not really my favorite. Obviously, James Storm. Can't forget my cowboy. Love of my life. Not really.
Used to be.
Used to be. Well, he still is. He still has a very special place in my heart. But, yeah, I mean, it's... You know, I wouldn't... And as far as Southerners, Taker's up there, obviously.
That's a stretch. The biggest stretch, and you know it.
He's still a Southern wrestler, born and raised in Texas.
That was a stretch.
You know what? I gotta get my Taker reference in there. Gotta get it in there. Just shut up. My show. Deal with it.
Oh, pulling. Okay, I see.
Yeah, pulling rank.
Twice.
Deal with it.
Twice on the show. See how I get treated, folks? See? And it's not.
Oh,
just,
yeah, you're so abused and unloved.
Totally.
Please. But yeah, that's pretty much everybody I can think of. I mean, it's... I would have to agree Jarrett's a good one. Styles is a good one.
The phenomenal AJ Styles.
I mean, that's something of, it's almost, do you count them as a Southern slash country wrestler because they are from the South? Or do you count them as a Southern slash country wrestler because that's their gimmick? Like, that's the difficult thing about this question. But, yeah, I mean, I'll go with that list.
It's a good list. Again, it's all preference as well.
Oh, and I cannot forget Bradshaw. Cannot forget Bradshaw.
Because he would close on you to hell if you forgot him.
Yes, Acolytes. Bradshaw and Ron Simonon. It's one of my favorite all-time tag teams. I still have the APA shooter in here somewhere.
And because you mentioned it.
Damn.
Yep, there it is.
Damn.
So on that note, I think we're going to wrap the show up for the evening.
Do you have anything to rant about?
Don't steal my artworks!
Good now?
Well, I could rant on something else if you really want me to.
Do you want to do it on air or off air?
Well, I already did it on Tumblr, so...
It's your show, apparently.
Oh, hell, why not? Hey, guess what? Friends don't hold friends at arm's length. You need to hold someone at arm's length to prove where you stand with that person, then you're either really out of touch with yourself, or you don't know that person at all. Because guess what? Friends, actual friends, you know, real friends, don't do that to each other. And also, if you want to have a conversation with me on Skype, fix your crap. I don't want to wait 45 minutes to find out how you are because your stuff won't send. There, I'm done.
Feel better now?
Yes, I do.
Well, okay.
Don't you have stuff to shill?
I do got stuff to shill. Tomorrow on the website, we're going to do this in order. Tomorrow on the website, Total Divas The Rack Extra.
Ooh.
Me and Lindsay got all up in the Kool-Aid of the Total Divas Episode 10. Want to hear our review? Check it out tomorrow. Right here, wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, WTR Games Garage with Mace. Lindsay and I will probably be hanging out as well. Mace is playing through WWE 2K14. Be there. Check it out. Saturday, midnight-ish, CB Radio. Weird, the wacky, the unusual. We are going to be discussing Andy Kaufman. Is he alive or is he dead?
Very interesting topic, folks.
You want to tune in? Is he alive or is he dead? There's all types of hoax and rumors abound. We're going to get into it tomorrow on Saturday, midnight-ish, Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Trey Mason and Megan, along with myself, for WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering the week in pro wrestling Monday nights from Raw Post to 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We will be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio at rackradioshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, WTRProductions.net, ProWrestlingTees.com/Rack Radio Show. Buy the official t-shirt. Now please, if you're listening to this, got a dollar, got two, got a penny, anything, donate. Help support the Wild Talk Radio Network. Click the donate button. Simple as that. Support Wild Talk Radio.
Please. Please do. We would appreciate it. So anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. You can also go to my Behance profile, behance.net/LinsWard, spelled same as my Twitter. You go on my website. Under the Contact Us section is a link to my Redbubble. I sell my artworks. So you can purchase them if you feel so inclined. Please do. I'd very much appreciate it. And I would also like to extend a huge thanks to WWE. Yes, I didn't know this. And also I'd like to send my extreme thanks to Jen and also to... Hold on, let me get her name because I don't want to forget her. We talk too much on Twitter. Well, it just says at AJ Lee Support. She runs an AJ Lee website. Go check it out. Both of them tweeted and let me know that I actually had a piece, Black Widow, featuring AJ Lee, featured on the WWE app during main event. It's been scrolling across your screen apparently all night. So a huge thanks to WWE for doing that. Black Widow is available on my Behance profile as well as on psychwardesigns.com. You're welcome to go check that out as well as all my other artworks.
And for the record, it's her artwork.
Yes. By the way, to the girl out there, I'm not going to mention your name because this is the secondary rant, that stole it 5 minutes after the picture got clipped it and put your name on it. Yeah, screw you. Not yours. Don't steal my stuff. Thank you.
Now take yours out of my way. Thanks to PWMania.com and MemlanePromo.com, TNAAsylum.com, and the folks on Tumblr as well. Thank you for listening.
Yes, so you've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward, and we'll see you next week. Bye!
Come.